All right, I am Jim Swan, my chief co-author, Keith Turner, sitting over here. And Ami Moore is a sociologist in our place. And Raisa Amini is our student who was supposed to come but couldn't. And I have nothing to disclose. Okay, we all know physical activity is important health promotion measure for older adults, as it is for adults of all ages. And life course theory is an important way to understand participation in many things, but including physical activity. Now, in life course theory, we want to distinguish several things. Individual age, effects of age, birth cohort, you know, boomers, younger and older boomers in particular, historical time, and other life course factors, and factors that affect the life course. Now, life course theory is best evaluated in a longitudinal study where you can follow people over time. But the issue here is using cross-sectional studies is explicating the findings of those studies because, as with the survey that I used, the National Health Interview Survey, you have very large samples and they are repeated each year. So, we report on research using life course theory to understand physical activity in diverse populations of U.S. adults, and it's over a 10-year period, 2001 to 2010. The data were drawn from the National Health Interview Survey, drawn from the adult sample. Some measures we had to get from the person sample, but most of these come from the adult sample. That's persons 18 years and over. And it is weighted to the total U.S. population, 18 and over. I'll note that one limitation is that it only reports age up to age 85, then just 85 and over. For the 10-year period, we had a fairly large sample size, 282,000, but missing values reduced that to about 266,000 in the full model that I'll be reporting. But that still represents nearly 95% of the total sample. And the survey asked respondents separately whether they undertook moderate, vigorous, and strengthening physical activity, the frequency of such activity, and the time per session in the case of moderate and vigorous activity. So we used a set of criteria for one, reporting an average of at least five times a week, and for 30 minutes for moderate activity, 20 minutes for vigorous, and strengthening activity, the threshold was 10 minutes, so it's effectively 10 minutes. And we didn't separate out, say, did you also do strengthening as well as moderate? We said if you met any of these criteria, we'll say you're doing adequate physical activity. So it's a rougher measure in some ways. Birth cohorts, we use 10-year ranges, except those born before 1926 and those born after 1975. And so here are raw numbers of participation in physical activity. About 23% overall of adults age 18 and over. As you can see, it is highest among those born since 1986. And then drops. However, and I've done other analyses, and what you generally find is there's a plateau across the birth cohorts. And so you expect to see a decline, older birth cohorts. No, that's not what you get. Not until you get to those born in 1925 and before do you really see a decline. Okay. Now, overall, fewer than one-fourth adults do participate. That's an important thing that, for the health promotion. But as I say, the differences by birth cohort are not all that large. And okay. Now, the multivariate analysis methods we use. Birth cohorts were operationalized with cumulative dummy variables. That means a birth cohort was contrasted to the next older birth cohort. And so, for example, old boomers contrasted to the young boomers. Okay? age was rebased to age 50. So he gave 0 to age 50, and then plus or minus from age 50. And there's a good reason why we did that, which I'll get to in a moment. We also did two dummy variables, one for midlife, people age 45 to 64, and one for people age 65 and over. Historical period was measured by year of the survey, and we also rebased that to the middle point of the interval. The reason we did the rebasing is that then we could square those measures as well and make a quadratic equation for age and for history. Okay, gender and marital status were considered in a different way. We looked at their interaction, or basically what we did is within the unmarried, we contrasted men to women. Among women, we contrasted married to unmarried, and among men, we contrasted married to unmarried. And we did use that married versus unmarried rather than, for example, living situation, because of the belief that very often it's a spouse that has an effect on what a person does, on the participation in a program. But we did control for living situation, but we did the more intense analysis using married versus unmarried. Ethnicity was considered in the following way, with dummy variables for Hispanic, African-American, or Black, and other non-white, all contrasted to non-Hispanic white. Education involved three cumulative dummy variables. Again, we contrasted high school degree to less, some college to high school, and college degree to some college. Did all the multivariate analysis in SAS callable Sudan, because use Sudan to adjust for the weighting factors. And there are massive weighting factors in these data to weight to the total population. Logistic regression was run on did you participate in adequate physical activity. And so the predictor variables overall were birth cohort with seven dummy variables, age with those four variables I mentioned, historic time two variables, gender and marital status had three, the four ethnicity dummy variables, place born, domestic versus foreign born, and education with three variables. Given the large sample size, most predictors show significant effects. And so we took the multivariate equation and we have it parceled out into four tables. And I'm going to be showing you the tables and then reading what's next so that you can see the tables as they go along. So the first table shows the analysis for the birth cohort measures. And this is in line with what had been found before, that the young adults, those born between 1976 and 1985, are less likely than the others, than the very youngest, those born after 1986 and after, to engage in physical activity. However, young boomers were more likely to engage in physical activity than the post-boomers. And so those born 56 to 65, much more likely than those born 66 to 75. And again, the pre-boomers, those born during and right before World War II, showed a higher rate than did we old boomers. And it's only for the oldest birth cohort that there was really a reduction. And because I've taken so much time, I'm going to go on as fast as I can. And you can see the age and history issues. The most important thing is that at midlife, people were more likely to engage in physical activity. And again, those age 65 and over, about the same jump. These are contrasted to the younger people, but 13% and 27%, that difference is about 14. So again, you're seeing that some older groups, you have a higher rate, not counting for yearly age. And again, at 65, you often see that. It's leisure time, physical activity. You get to retirement age, you have more time to do it. Okay, get down to the marital status, and you get some interesting findings. In the unmarried, males are very much more likely than women to do the physical activity. But among the married, among males, it's the married are less likely to engage in physical activity. But among women, married are much more likely to engage in physical activity, which sort of fits with some gender roles if you consider the younger male, the unmarried male, as, I'm tough. I go out and do physical activity. But then the older male is the couch potato, if they're married. But women, the married women are much more likely to get out there and do it. Okay? Ethnicity, we always find that the minority group, that there's lesser engagement in physical activity. Those with at each level of education, people are more likely to engage in physical activity. And those born in the U.S. are more likely than foreign-born to engage in physical activity. How much more time do I have? 2 minutes. I'll go on to the discussion. So participation requisite physical activity that showed the maximal benefit is very low in the U.S. population. And such participation, though, very strongly by factors suggested by life course theory. For example, the issue of cross birth cohorts. Same. Those in midlife and those who are retired show higher physical activity than do those younger themselves, controlling for yearly age, for that decline with yearly age. I think some of the most interesting findings have to do with a gender interaction with marital status, because when you're talking about it, you know, what happens with the males, important factor is, are they married? And in other work done, certainly whether or not a person, particularly a guy, is married has a lot to do with, like, going to the senior center, etc. Okay. Conclusions. Physical activity is an important lifestyle factor. Life course theory can help explicate what happens. Although physical activity tends to decline with age, there are more important variations by things like birth cohort that go in some ways counter to what you expect just looking at a person's age. Disparities in physical activity by background factors may be ameliorated or exacerbated by life course factors. I didn't get to it, but some of the differences by ethnicity, when we looked at that over the time period or as people got older, for some groups, for example, Asian to a non-Hispanic white, it completely reversed. For when you got to the older ages, the Asian respondents were more likely. For others, the variation got, the disparity got larger. So interventions to promote physical activity needed to take such complex variations